Well, amen. Thank you very much. On the other side. It's good to be here. Right? At our age, it's good to be anywhere, right? I have a sense. I'm not sure what I have a sense of. What a wonderful service of praise. You know, the best thing about God is God. He's without peer, without limit. He will ever be a mystery in one sense, but intimate with us in another sense. I've had a battle over what to do tonight. It's not that I don't have material, but I'm going to be very careful in what I say and how I say it, because it involves a kind confrontation to every person here, including myself. And I really mean that. Too many of us have had and have at times given in to the temptation of getting to a good place in our lives and thinking that's the ultimate. And let me say this, the greatest things we're going to see and experience in the days ahead are going to lie just beneath the surface of what we thought we knew enough about to not have to learn anymore. So God is going to take the cap off of what you think you know about salvation and multiply what it means to you, or sanctification, or eschatology, or any part of the great picture. So I just became clear a couple of hours before we came tonight what I was to do. And if you're worried about hearing or watching Everybody Loves Raymond, give it up, because we won't get there in time. You may be looking at the most excited old man in the world. And I think a believer who is not excited just simply doesn't understand the situation. If you knew what was in store for you, what has already happened to you, what God has in mind for you, what God thinks of you, you'd be excited. Amen? Amen. The last time I checked, the gospel was good news. I'll tell you two or three things about good news. Everybody loves to hear it. Everybody loves to tell it. It brings joy wherever it is told. And so we have taken the good news. Imagine. The Bible calls it the good news. And it tells a story that you can tell in 100 words or less. And we have so diluted it and spoken it without depth of meaning or feeling or passion that it doesn't seem to be too good anymore. People are staying away in droves. They're bored. We're about to get over that. And so what I have to deliver to you tonight, I'm living level sure is true. But there's something more than being true. It is telling the truth with the passion of God and refusing to back off the implications of what you're saying. And I'm serious about that. And I'm telling you this not to warn you, but to warn you. Listen. Listen to what I say. Listen to what God says about what I say, and what I say about what God says. Let me mention my book again, released last year. This is a book that took more battles and and blood and depths of concern than all the other books, I guess 13 or 14, put together. The devil fought this book more than any book, more than all the books put together, including the book on victory over the devil. I hired a full-time prayer in the room with me when I wrote that book. The devil hates this book, and that ought to interest you in the book. So we put the price on all of them down by about, goodness, I haven't figured, dangerously close to cost. And you can have any book over there for $10. And so load up. I am reading my books with great profit. I read half of this one again on the way here on Tuesday. So I want to be very measured in what I say. I don't want to get beyond what I feel like God has said and God is saying. And then I want to very kindly confront you, every person here. Every person here. And let me preface that by saying, in the kingdom, there are no unimportant people. There is no retirement in the kingdom. There is no lessening of value in the kingdom. Our culture has given us a system of evaluation that is false. You're young, you're vivacious, you're energetic, you're sharp in your thinking, and then you begin to grow old. And finally you reach the ultimate of 65, and the culture has decided that your value is sinking fast, and it will replace you. What a good time for you to turn loose for God. I envision we have more old people alive today than in any time in human history. And most of them are unemployed. But they are about to be deployed by the King of Kings to deliver the message that will be delivered to every language group in the earth, likely in the next few years. The full, complete gospel of the kingdom. Did you hear that? Now that's prophetic. Though I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, couldn't find one in the family tree. But all of us are free to prophesy, and you've just heard one. Amen? So Father, in Jesus' name, give the same anointing to the hearer that you are now giving to the preacher. Don't let me say more than needs to be said or less than must be said. Let me say it with passion and with meaning, and use it to alter our lives so that we fit in your plan for the next great season. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight and for being here. I don't know what's going on all tomorrow, but you know to be here when you know to be here. I suppose we wouldn't run you off if you came. I think we have a leaders meeting in the morning, right? But it's all right. If you can lead a dog, you can come. Yeah, so just come. Because I'm going to build and amplify what I will get said tonight. So a few years ago, I began to see very clearly that while all truth is truth, it is not equal truth. A rightly dividing of the word of truth will carry with it the wisdom of what is the prime truth. Are you hearing? There has never been a more important time in human history. It has never been more important in human history than it is now that you know what God is saying in the present tense. You don't need to fear that, because what God is saying now will be in full agreement with what God has been saying all through time and eternity. And please know that when you pick up this book, you're picking up a book of miracles, a miracle in its origination, it's inspired, a miracle in its continuation, it is still inspired and protected against heresy. And We enjoy the miracle of illumination as it is preached in the power of the Spirit. So listen, I'll try not to yell at you. I'm trying to get over that. I want to talk to you, but if I find myself raising my voice, I'll try to get myself back in control. I want to tell you this. The kingdom of God is not a part of our message. The kingdom of God is the message. When Jesus came, introduced by John Baptist, John said, change your way of thinking, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not in future, it is at hand, reachable now. When Jesus was first quoted in the next chapter, he repeated the same word. Change your thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God was the message of Jesus. Every parable was a kingdom parable. Every story was a kingdom story. Every truth was a kingdom truth. He taught his disciples and commanded them to preach the kingdom everywhere they went. And all through his 3 years of ministry, he mentioned the kingdom time after time after time. When he was teaching us to pray, he said, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus was always talking about the kingdom. He came not to die for your sins alone, but to model the kingdom of God into which you were born when you were saved. I went to the seminary, the largest seminary in the world. I was visiting an old friend of mine after he had retired from, and I'd known him from seminary days to then, over 30 years. And he asked the question from the bed that was to be his deathbed. He said, Jack, why didn't we mention the kingdom in the seminary more than we did? We didn't mention it. And I find in studying church history, and especially in the Bible, that it looked like, for all practical purposes, that the message of the kingdom of heaven was lost before the end of the first century. If you don't believe that, read the message to the seven churches. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love. One of them tolerated Jezebel. Another that tolerated the lifting of the ministry above the laity, imbalance, heresy. And the last one mentioned was a church that was lukewarm. Does that tell you anything? If any one word describes the overall church today, it is tepidity, it's lukewarmness. Amen? I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but I can tell you this, the good news will not be any better news than the bad news is the bad news. If you don't believe the bad news, you will never get the good news. Okay? I think that's right. I'd never heard myself say that before, but 154 times in most translations, the word kingdom of the term kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is mentioned. Many times by Paul, many times by Jesus. And in Revelation, the kingdom is paramount, as it is throughout the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is eternal. By the way, there's really no difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. They're used interchangeably. There's some discussion on that. But I want to share with you, everything I share tonight will be toward one thing. That is giving you enough information, I pray, preached under the anointing, to give you reason that the kingdom of God is the greatest subject for you to pursue today. I only preach in churches that I feel like are at least pointed toward the kingdom. And so all the scripture I'm going to use, and I'll not have you turn, you can just take, find it later. But when Jesus was talking to Peter about his identity, it was a very important discussion. And he said, Matthew 16, he said, Peter, who do people say that I am? And the answer came, several things, Elijah, so on. And then he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then Peter, that disciple that kept his foot in his mouth half the time and wondered why he couldn't walk straight. How about that? Peter gave a statement that amazed Jesus. He said, wow, you didn't get that from yourself. God gave that to you. That came straight from heaven. And this is what Peter said. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. The whole gospel is a gospel of Father and Son. And by the way, women, don't feel left out. You're called sons in the Bible. All who are righteous are the sons of God. So get used to your masculine side, please. And we'll get used to our feminine side. We're part of the bride of Jesus. So you see, you need to find spiritual truth in it all. God is up to something. Very, very huge. Beyond description. The only reason for you to be left out of it is to fail to want to get in on it. What I'm calling for tonight is for every person here to seriously consider, or go ahead and do it, believing that I told the truth. Receive the kingdom of God for what it is. Everything. It is the kingdom of God for the church or nothing. It is the kingdom or defeat and failure. It is the kingdom of God or deficiency and weakness. The church must rediscover the kingdom. I love what the publisher did with this book. Cosmic Initiative is the word I got from God that is his definition, one of his definitions for the kingdom. First of all, it's cosmic. It's larger than this world. It involves every star, every nebulae, every dying star, every birth star, all galaxies, all of everything. The kingdom of God is huge and getting larger. It is the only reality that will be around a billion years from now, and it will still be growing. Eternal and eternally enlarging. And you can be a part of it beginning tonight if you're not already. You can. And I don't know what God's going to do with me. I'm old. I'm planning to live another 15 years. I'll soon be 85. And I'm going to let up about somewhere around 90. And I'm fine. Don't worry about me. And God is waking me up every night from 2, 3, 4. And I'm under a tsunami of kingdom revelation. And I must share it. And so I want you to hear it in the seriousness with which I share it. You can have the kingdom of God and nothing else and have everything. You can have everything else and have the kingdom and not have the kingdom and have nothing. You say, well, what is all this I believe? It's part of the kingdom. Part of the kingdom. There was a psychiatrist years ago who made a statement that could be scripture because it's solidly true scientifically in every other way. He said, the whole is greater. Some of the quotes go always. The whole is always greater than the sum of its individual parts. Did you ever hear that? Okay. Well, what that means is this. Nothing was ever said that was any truer of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the sum total of all valid reality. Everything that counts is in the kingdom. If it's not in the kingdom, it doesn't count. It will fade and fail and not exist one day. We measure reality not by tangibility or visibility, but by absolute permanence. Did you get that? You can get it if you'll just think about it. Or if you'll park it without any doubt, God will get back to it and say, this is what the preacher meant. Okay? You're smarter than you think. Now let me say that again. The whole, the kingdom, is greater than the sum of its individual parts. When you study any valid truth in the Bible, you're studying a part of the kingdom. That truth, to be wholly understood and properly protected from heresy, must be connected to the kingdom. There is nothing in the earth, including all we believe about God, the Bible, and spiritual reality, there is nothing about it that describes it until, or defines it, until it fits into the kingdom. I'm speaking mystery to some of you, but you're getting more of it than you know, because I'm speaking to your spirit and your mind. So you're getting it. So just say yes to everything you hear, and if it's wrong, God will take it up with me. So don't worry. I hope I've gotten it. I really believe I've gotten it from the Lord. So this is what I'm going to tell you. You're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First. One of the most important chapters in this book is seek first the kingdom of God. And I realize today anew that when you seek it, you must seek it for what God says it is. It is worthy of your seeking. Never any truer than it refers to the kingdom is it more important to believe that if you seek, you will find. If you continue to seek the kingdom, you will continue finding the kingdom. And you can learn billions of things a day about the kingdom. We think hundreds of thousands of thoughts a day. If God can point those thoughts toward the kingdom and we draw our thinking from the kingdom, we will learn things about the kingdom that are absolutely mind-bending and mind-blowing. And so I encourage you to know, listen to me, look me right here. There's more. There is much more than you know, much more than you feel, much more to this kingdom than you can imagine. So let your mind go wild in God and let Him teach you about the kingdom. Search this book and this is what you will find. Now we start. Jesus was a kingdom preacher. He commanded His disciples to preach on the kingdom. I do want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And I'm going to preach until I feel like I've said everything you need to hear. And so if I preach longer than you can listen, just ask God for a little grace to listen, because what you might get next may be more important than anything you heard up to then. Okay? Comprende? Okay. Okay. We're reading the book of Acts now. Luke is writing the book of Acts. He is referring to a document before this, and that is the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke was a doctor. Medical doctors tend to believe that facts are facts, and you don't bend them. It was Luke who talked more about the virgin birth than anybody. Dr. Luke, the only person ever born without a human father. And he attested to the fact that Jesus Christ was virgin born. We need to give attention to that. This is not a matter of plurality. There are not valid religions everywhere. There is one, a Father and a Son and a gospel about the human condition of sin and the divine offer of salvation for all. That is the only gospel, the only good news. So I want to walk through some passages that will demonstrate to you what I at this moment more firmly, unbendingly believe than ever in my whole life. And that is of right now. And I've never presented it with this intensity. So he introduces us, the only one who does it, to what happened immediately after the resurrection of Jesus. Has that ever interested you? So he arose from the dead. The scars were healed. And Jesus went missing. They couldn't find him. They found an empty tomb. They found the folded grave clothes. They heard that he was alive, but they thought maybe he had been stolen, his body had been stolen, and they were sad. And Jesus is out there walking, I guess down the road by himself, and he catches up to two disciples and begins conversation with them. Imagine. He's just risen from the dead. In a little while, he'll be going to heaven, back to his Father. And he's staying here and will stay here for 40 days. Actually, a little more. And so he begins to join the conversation and listens to them tell about what's going on that happened to him. And he didn't mention anything. He just let them talk. Does that amaze you? Well, it ought to. And he acted like he would go on when he got to their house. And they said, well, why don't you stay for supper? And when he prayed, they recognized who he was. And they who were tired from at least a 7-mile walk, it was from 7 to 12 miles from where the other disciples were gathered to where they were. And they hit the road again and ran 7 miles, whatever it was. And they walked in and they gave the word like this. He is risen indeed. Now look at me. We've all but lost the indeed of that. He's risen, but we've lost the wow to it. He is indeed. He's really risen. And about that time, Jesus walks through the wall. Why did he walk through the wall? Well, a door doesn't need a door. He was the door. He just walked in, there he was. And Jesus was alive. Now, this is what Luke tells in the first chapter that describes the message of the church, because the church will soon come into being. And what did he preach on for 40 days? The kingdom of God. 40 days. I get silly with the Lord every once in a while and ask him questions, and sometimes he answers. I guess sometimes they don't mean anything, and if he answered, it wouldn't mean anything to me. I couldn't understand it. But I said, Lord, what did he talk on for 40 days? I mean, I'd like to think there were some tapes or cassettes or CDs or something. I mean, surely they're recorded. Those are not recorded. And I said, would you just satisfy me by telling me what in the world he talked about for 40 days? And this is the answer I got. Read the red. I knew exactly what he meant. Go back and read every word in the red that Jesus said. What he talked about those 40 days was an extrapolation, an enlarging, an enhancing of everything he said while he was here, particularly about the kingdom. Listen to him about the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I must go to another place because I must preach the kingdom. That is why I was sent. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I give you the keys of the kingdom. And what you tie up, what you declare, is true in heaven. And so on. He said, I must be about my Father's business at 12. You know what his business was? He said, literally, I must be in my Father's house. You know what the kingdom is? God's big house. It's what God is up to. It's where God lives. It's the kingdom is in him, and he is in the kingdom. Listen to Jesus talk about the kingdom. And then there in Revelation, the angel steps out in chapter 15 and says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. The last days of Jesus' life on the earth before he was lifted into heaven, he talked about the kingdom of God. Paul is saved in chapter 8 of the book of Acts and goes blind, smitten blind, and from the ground said, who are you, Lord? What he was saying was, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, your boss, your Lord. And he went in, and in the providence of God, there was a man ready to tell him the truth about himself. And said to Brother Saul, receive your sight. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul, again and again, in the book of Acts, preached the kingdom of God. Chapter 14, many became disciples, and Jesus and Paul went by encouraging the disciples, saying, you must enter the kingdom with much tribulation. Did you read that one? If you don't believe it's true, just start seeking the kingdom, and the devil will do everything in his power to keep you from studying it and pursuing it, and you just bear down and tell the devil to go to hell, and he must do what you say. You're just telling him to go home. Nothing wrong with that. Learn to resist him. You have authority over the devil. Well, the devil has a lot. No, the devil doesn't have any authority, never has had. He's a pretender. I hear people say, well, you know, Adam threw down the authority God gave him. The devil picked it up. Nope, the devil didn't pick it up. God picked it up and said, I'll save that authority for one who deserves it, and he will arrive on time. The devil doesn't have any authority. He knows he doesn't. He tries to keep you from finding it out. And if you don't find it out that he has no authority, you won't use yours in Jesus' name, and the devil will tie you up. Amen? So, Paul preaches in one place for 6 months in the hall of Tyrannus, and they find out what he's doing, and they kick him out. And for another year or so, he preaches the kingdom. Now, how did Paul end his life? Travel to Rome, knowing in his heart that trouble was there, and he probably would die in Rome. And he did. He got there, and for 2 years and more, in a rented house, he preached every day on the kingdom of God and on Jesus. Now, does that tell you that the kingdom of God is important to God? You know what God does for a living? Well, everybody does something for a living. I mean, he doesn't have to work for pay. He owns everything. But he does this for a living. He rules. And he does right well, thank you. He rules. That's what the gospel of the kingdom says loudly and clearly. God rules. Don't make any difference what's going on in politics. Doesn't make any difference about all the mountains that have stationed themselves against God. Doesn't make any difference to God that laws are being made in the face of Bible truth. Bald-faced lies to society. Where is God? God is ruling. And God is bringing justice in time and eternity. Every wrong will be righted. Every mountain will be leveled. Every sin will be paid for. I mean, nobody gets away with anything. The kingdom righteousness is God's system of justice. Listen, if you are bothered about what's going on in America, I'm talking about all the accusations and all the tweets and all the Facebook, everything. If you're bothered about that, you're watching too much news. Because that news is just old news repeated. If you really want the latest news, read this. And you'll never get discouraged about what's going on. The only plan of upward mobility that's always moving upward is the kingdom of God. You're getting better. Well, I don't feel like I am. Well, you got something left in the world. Well, you say, you're getting old, your hair's turned gray, and you're bulging at places you didn't, and you don't walk like you used to. I know. But in what I am, I'm getting better all the time. My inner man, the reality of who I am is in a unbending plan of upward mobility. I'm better than I was when we started this service. I'm better than I was before I started this sentence. Because in God, I'm moving upward and onward in Him. When you join the kingdom, I'm talking about get in it. I'm talking about deciding for it. I'm talking about making it the one great thing you search for. When you get in it, you're such a part of it that what happens to the kingdom is happening in you because you and the King are one. The one thing that intrigues me as much as anything about the kingdom is what Isaiah is quoting God. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Who's running this outfit? Who's running this outfit? He's running it. Well, you say, he's not doing a real good job. I call you to mind that it's happening. And if you know how to interpret history and fit this into good news, you're going to get happy the more you read and the more you look at the news that's going on right now. And maybe you need to give up a lot of the news. I love to hear the talk about it. I have my favorites that I like to listen to. But when I begin to get angry, I just close the page. And so there's certain people that I really, really have learned not to like. And that's a sin. And so I said, God, what am I to do? What am I to do with so-and-so and her husband? And what am I to do with Oprah? I love Oprah. And there's not a better person on earth as far as a good person. She's just a good person and very smart. But she's misguiding the populace. She's leaving life out of message. And so I've fallen in love with her. I love her. I'm praying for her salvation. You can't pray for somebody's salvation and dislike them. Apostle Paul was Saul, meanest man in the country toward religion, toward Christ. And he got saved and gave us a lot of our New Testament. I'm praying for 1, 2, 3, Oprah, Hillary, and Bill. And 7 others. And I'm excited about it, and I don't dislike them anymore. I'm just not over head over heels in admiration, but I just pray for them. If you would begin to pray, as much as you find yourself criticizing, there very possibly and probably would be a revival in the whole political realm. We have gone so politically insane that it's collective insanity. And you can't blame that on people. That has to come from hell. And listen, heaven owns hell. Hell is a part of the consideration of the kingdom. It's where people go and where people are who have discounted the value of the truth. They live in hell. That's their hometown. They have joined the spirits of darkness. Now, it never has been any more important that you recognize when you joined Jesus, you joined a kingdom against which the world is totally hostile. Why shouldn't we expect, when the gospel begins to be enlarged in the culture of uncommon sense that has seized us, what gives you any reason to believe that they're going to be kind to the gospel message as it begins to be preached in its undiluted state? It's never been more important for you as a believer to check in and say to God, I'm in, Lord. I want in on what you're up to. God is counting on you. I just wrote a note and read it to friends this week, to a preacher I know that has been knocked out, knocked down, can't get up, is dying. And I said to him in a text a few days ago, I said, I'm going to pray for you until God gives me a message of hope, because you're dying without hope. He's been an important preacher, preached, pastored in some great churches in California, New Mexico, and Washington State, and Illinois, and Ohio. And I said, I have never gotten a word of hope for you before now. And I said, God, I need a word of hope for my friend. And yesterday, day before yesterday, God arrested me early in the morning and gave me the message. And it's in part what I'm sharing with you. Look at me, let me tell you. It has never been more important than you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Believe in the kingdom of God for what the Bible says it is. It has never been more important that you let God know and let your spirit know and let your spouse know and let your children know and let your grandchildren know that you have given all for the kingdom. I realize that's a shock. You say, well, I've got a life to live. Yeah. But you don't have anything more important than seeking the kingdom. Or Jesus would have said, seek first the paying of the bills. Seek first the making of a living. Seek first the living of the American dream. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his lifestyle, righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? This is very profound. You won't recognize it to be profound. That's the reason I'm telling you it's profound, so you'll know. I'm going to give you the meaning of all these things. Are you ready? All these things means all these things. Well, what about church? What about my church? What about what? I mean, I'm hearing the gospel, but I've never heard the kingdom. Hey, all these things are in the kingdom of God to be given by God in his order. So let me explain this. The context is in Matthew 6:33. Jesus was talking about the heathen that seek three things. Where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, and what you're going to wear. That's it. These are what the Gentiles search after. Have you been caught in the San Antonio traffic lately? You know where everybody's going? To or from a job. They're working all day long. And some of them traveling 2 or 3 hours a day to get back home and back to work. Doing what? They say, excuse me, what are you working for? Well, to get a paycheck. To do what? Well, to pay my bills. Well, what do they involve? Well, it's got to pay my house off, got to buy clothes, and I got to eat. Oh, good. What you going to do tomorrow? Well, I'm going to do the same thing. So you're seeking what the Gentiles seek. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you're seeking, you're in for a boring life and disappointment at the end. So I'm telling you something, that there needs to be a major mid-course correction if you are not seeking the kingdom. You say, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. I know. I didn't either. Until I started seeking it. That's a part of seeking it. How are you going to seek it if you're not interested in seeing it? And so you say, it might come when you get a concordance and just let it guide you to all the Bible says about the kingdom. All Jesus said, all John said, all Paul said, all Peter said, all John on Patmos said. And it may catch, and you grab the kernel. Oh, I see. And then a search will be a part of you, and you'll hunger for the kingdom, hunger for the righteousness of God. And the next thing you know, people will say, excuse me, would you mind telling me what happened to you? I thought you were getting old, and now you're acting young. You're excited. You like to go worship with the people of God, and you're outward with this. What's gone wrong with you, or what's gone right with you? And would you mind telling me what you're taking? You ought to be a challenge to your neighbors. They ought to be going sifting through your garbage to find out what you're on. Calling your doctor and say, would you mind telling me what prescription you wrote these folks next door? Hey, you owe the world, if you know Christ, some kind of excitement about the collateral benefits of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We will have more people saved by accident than we're now having saved on purpose when the people of God get happy enough to act like they're going somewhere instead of acting like they got somewhere and are disappointed and are on the way back. So, I'm just going to talk until I'm satisfied that you understand what I'm after. If you are not now seeking the kingdom, you are getting farther and farther from the reality of what life is all about. There is not enough of knowledge about everything else to make up for the lack of knowledge that God has given you to receive about the kingdom. And so I'm telling you this. God is about the kingdom. It's all that counts. It's all that matters. If it matters at all, it's all that matters. If it doesn't matter in all, it doesn't matter at all. But it's everything that matters. If you are not seeking the kingdom, you ought to change your course. You say, well, how shall I do it? Well, first of all, I'm going to pray for you tonight. And for those who desire it, I'm going to impart an anointing to begin a search for the kingdom that will never end. You say, well, if you find it, isn't that the end? No! That's everything else that the world offers. You find the end and you're ultimately disappointed. Not only end to the kingdom, it's eternal. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, ever growing in peace and power. And when you find it, you've found the sunum bonum. Don't know what that means, but it sounds important. Hey, you've found the it of everything. You have found the gospel. You have found the Christ. You've found the Trinity. You've found the secret, the key to everything. And you have the keys of the kingdom. Another great chapter in my book is on the keys of the kingdom. There's not a few keys. There's a key for every locked gate, for every locked door. There's a key to every conundrum, every mystery in your life. And God's the key keeper, and He wants you to be the key finder. Are you hearing me? Well, we're getting there. At this rate, we'll be there in a couple of hours. But I want you to hear me. I sort of raised my voice there, and I'm not sorry, but I didn't mean to. When you want to know the truth about something, find out if it's mentioned in the Bible, what words are connected to it to make it seem more important than another truth. For instance, in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, they're talking about what is going on right now, a great shaking. Is there a great shaking? It's not my favorite hymn, but the whole lot of shaking going on is a true song. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And it tells us what the shaking is about. It's about a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen. And what does it say? Give up everything else and seek the kingdom. Receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us worship God. For our God is a consuming fire. So let me just give you a plethora of reasons why. I more than suggest, for any right I may have, I command you. I command you in Jesus' name to bring your searches into singularity and start seeking the one thing that will be here when the stars have fallen and the planets have burned up. And all that will be left is God's reality. I don't know what it'll look like. But it'll be God and permanent reality. God and the kingdom. Why shouldn't you seek it? Why should you settle for what the world has to give and not receive what God is now giving? Listen to this. Jesus said, little children, the Father's good pleasure, somebody help me finish that. The Father's good pleasure, double word, to give you the kingdom. Every person in this room who's saved has been given the gift of the kingdom of God. It is your present inheritance right now. Its privileges are opening to you. It is eternal. It will never stop giving. You are in with the government of God. Can you tell me why you should trust this mind when in the kingdom you have His mind? Why should you ever try to do anything in your own strength when God's anointing is offered to you to do it in His strength? How many of you have ever felt weak? Well, I'm sorry for the rest of you, because I have mixed news for you. You are weak. God reminded me of that today. I said, God, I feel so weak. I feel so weak about going and telling these people about the kingdom. I don't know enough about it to tell them. And He said, good, you're weak. Now you can listen to me better. My strength, I heard this. My strength is perfected in your weakness. Why are you so bothered about being weak? See, truth in the kingdom is solid, workable, pragmatic, usable, present tense, powerful truth. And the truth alone will set you free. Amen? Okay, now you're doing real good. With a few major exceptions, you're looking at your watch. Well, I'm going a little longer because of that. I just want to clench the nails. This is a command: seek first the kingdom. Imperative mood, collective, plural. Always be seeking the kingdom. It's not something you do and get over. It's something you do and do and do and do. Before every problem, after every problem, in the midst of every problem, every promise, seek the kingdom. Because seeking the kingdom is seeking the King. It's seeking His everything. It's seeking His laws. It's seeking His life. It's seeking His promises. That's a command. A command to everyone. You're doing something at this moment about that command. You're either doing it, or you're doing something else that keeps you from doing it. You're becoming like what you worship. What you worship, you put in first place. If you put making money in first place, you've got a God in money. Inevitably, you will seek it. And I want to say this kindly, because God said it to me about me. He said, if you are seeking something besides the kingdom, you are already in the suburbs of idolatry. I ordered you to seek the kingdom. When you are seeking first anything else but the kingdom of God and His lifestyle, which is righteousness, being right, doing right, speaking right because you are right. If you're not seeking that, you're not obeying His command, and you're already in modest idolatry. So let me say it again. Something shifted in my life in the last few days. I can't describe it. I care not to. But I'm feeling differently about everything. About the intensity, the importance, the relevance, the immediacy, the state of affairs. We need to give attention. We need to read the words first and all and understand that that's exactly what God meant. You know, God loves the word all. Listen to this. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, in all things, may abound to every good work. Yeah, all. He loves all. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Are you with me? All. It's good to have some, not enough. It's good to have much, not enough. What He wants from you is all. All. He owns you. He loves you. He's proud of you. He counts on you. Your prayers are important to Him. Your faith is important to Him. And never ceases to be, regardless of your age. You are not unimportant because the world notices you no longer. You are important to God. He's counting on you. He loves you. All He has required of you, He has enabled you to be and do. And He makes clear in this book the kind of life you can live. And that can begin tonight. I don't have any reason to try to be dramatic. I'm just telling you that God has made a proposition. And you need to do something about it. Now, Lord, whatever else I need to say, I pray that you'd add on right now. I pray that if there's been a second of attitude that even tastes of something not your pleasure and will. Any attitude or scolding on my part, take it away right now. And confront every one of us with your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful command and promise, proposition. We want to seek first the kingdom of God. We want to seek your righteousness. We want to embody the demonstration that comes from heaven when all these things are added to us by you. Let me say this in closing. Look at me. You can have all these things. Yeah. A lot of people have them. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, millionaires, billionaires, Bezos, owner of Amazon, Zuckerberg, Facebook, rich. They have all these things. But they don't have them in God, which is out of order. When you get things right with God and put first things first, then all these things will be added. Would you guess on who's going to do the adding after you take care of the source? Yeah. The head of all this. The Trinity. The God small group. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They don't leave either one out, ever. All of God is behind you. All of God is in you. All of God is for you. All of God is in the kingdom. And all of the kingdom is in God. And that is your inheritance. But until it is received, as important as God says it is, you don't begin to enjoy it. Anybody who makes this decision and depends on God to follow through will become such a mystery to the world that you cannot be denied. And when this happens, the kingdom will take off and grow exponentially. You know what it will grow like? A family. A family. It starts with a father and a son. If the spirit has a ministry above any other, it's motherhood. There's something mysteriously, wonderfully womanlike about the Holy Spirit. He broods over his own. He moves with a powerful influence. Nothing, no influence is left out. There is a father and a son. And in that whole works, Jesus was properly mothered and fathered by a human father and a human mother, all the while recognizing that there was another father who was his, because it was the seed of God planted in the womb of Mary that set her pregnant with the Son of God. What a miracle! We are part of that. It's dawning on me what a wonderful thing that is. Every cell in my body is alive with life. Now, I just have to pray every once in a while, God, would you let up a little? I may be melting in the next few seconds. But I want this for all of us. Okay, that'll do. Let's just pray a minute. I want you to ask some questions to your spirit. What should I do about what I've heard? What shall I change in the light of new evidence. Father, nobody in this room wants to say no to you. So I pray that as we sit before you now, let heaven hear a yes from our spirits, from our lips. Think about it now. You've been presented with a challenge, I pray, in the proper attitude. I could not, to my knowledge, be more sincere or intense in what I've said. I've not heard myself like this before. So, I lovingly require of you, every person here, a yes from God, if it's in you to do so. I'd like not even to give you permission to do anything else, but I must, because God does. But I'd like for you to do this. God, I don't know exactly how to respond to this, but I really want to say yes to you and live it out and be different in so many ways. And then you come back. You pursue what you've heard. There'll be places and people to pursue. Now this is how we're going to close. I'm going to have those who will say yes to, in a minute, say it. And as you say it, stand. And I really don't want to put anybody on the spot. I just, please feel free to remain seated. You'll not be chastised. And because the spotlight that I'm going to, and I believe God, is going to be on people who are standing. Because you have sparked interest in heaven. Some of you are at the age I am, and you've decided you don't count anymore. I'm going to ask you to repent. You've never been more important than you are right now to God and heaven. Never. Well, you see, I'm almost... I'm just almost useless physically. Hey, you're in a body. That's not you. You are a spirit. You're active. You're sensitive. You're indwelt by the life of God. He's just looking for a cooperative body. So I just want you to do that. And I think it'll sound good to God to just hear a yes. And a continued yes. I doubt if you can say it too many times. Yes. Yes. And as you say yes, stand up. Heaven is recording what happens tonight. Yes. Lord, first time, here are people who are standing as one. Something is happening in the heavenlies as they say yes. That's receiving. Now receiving then becomes really believing that it's happening. And really obeying the next thing of God. In heaven and angels and the family of God, take notice. Lord, if we prayed for everybody a minute, we'd be here till daylight. There is a miraculous stuff with the laying on of hands. And I want some help. So, Pastor, you come and point to people that need to be standing with us here. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray quickly. It's not a counseling time. It's not even a time to speak a word in prayer. It's just the laying on of hands. Now, before we do that, I need to tell you a story. This is in all humility because it speaks of my weakness, not my strength. I will, in a few weeks, be with the Prasa Sithol, who for years was Heidi Baker's lead pastor of 7,500 churches in Mozambique. He now pastors 2 churches in South Africa. He was saved miraculously, given at least now 14 languages that he speaks fluently without having to learn. He's raised the dead. He was in my home years ago. I cooked steaks for the crew of pastors, and then we settled in to talk about Sapreza and his ministry. Somebody asked the question, well, Sapreza, when did you begin this ministry of supernatural things, raising the dead, healing the sick, and casting out demons, and learning languages in a second? He looked down the table and said something that nearly made me faint. He said, when Father Jack prayed for me, look at me, I did not remember praying for Sapreza Sithol. I said, God, what happened? I didn't give him that. I never had it. He said, I didn't ask you to give it to him. I asked you to give him what I had for him, not what you had for him. So when a hand is laid on you, we're not giving you what we have. And with praying for you, we're open to all God wants to give you. And look at me, God wants to give you a whole lot more than you are manifesting right now. It won't hurt you. So if I were you, I'd get prayed for. And I'm going to have you come on your way out. And the books are available when we're through. And all of that. But the pastor's going to appoint people. It'll be all across here. You can be prayed for. Don't go to 2. Just go to 1. Get prayed for. It's as important. Anybody here is as important as anybody here. Don't come to me in crowds. Go to somebody. Somebody lay their hands on you. You're going to get what you need. You're going to get what God wants to give you. Frida, you stand with these. We probably need more, so Pastor, appoint.
Come on, Albert. We're going to have a few trusted people, too, that will be there available to catch if necessary, too. I just want to say this, as ministry time begins, we will have somebody over here at the table, so you can buy those books. And remember, $10. Also, you can give a love offering there as well. But what we're just going to do is I'm just going to ask us to go row by row. that'll make the, make sure that we've got the opportunity to be able to do this. And so if you guys go ahead, and we're just going to get two lines coming to here down the middle aisle for me. And then that way, as you get prayed for, when you feel like the Lord has, you've received something, then you can go back and sit. You're more than welcome to stay as long as you need to as well. But then that way we can just continue to make sure we get everybody prayed for that time, all right? So,
Father, in Jesus' name, this line of people will be praying for people. I pray that their confidence will be in the authority God has granted them, not in what they feel like they have. All of us feel like there's so much more. And so, in the name of Jesus, we will impart humbly to those who come, and there will be power in that touch. I thank you that you have more confidence in our laying on of hands than we do. More confidence in our prayers than we do. More confidence in our faith than we do. And so we're doing what you said. And through the laying on of hands, something is going to happen in every person prayed for. So bless, just touch everybody right now. But specifically as they come in Jesus' name. So if there's light music you want to play back there or whatever, it happens now in Jesus' name. Come along. Row after row, please. And I'm coming down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.